A Gentle Introduction to South Indian Carnatic Music, Classical Music, Part 2 of 4 by Ramesh Mahadevan, read to you by Shiv Kumar Kalyan Raman, and illustrations by Harihar on the piano and Shiv Kumar. Let's make a tune, the concept of a scale. We have learnt about the keyboard, labelled the various keys under the Eastern and Western schemes, and even quarrelled about whether it should have 12 keys or 22 in an octave. We now know that these keys are like the alphabets in creating music. How then do we compose music? Before we answer this question, let us see if we can say anything about the structure of a tune or the melody itself. If we listen to any musical piece such as Janagana Mana or Roop Tera Mastana, we notice that their second lines and subsequent lines are not just mindless imitations or repetitions of the first lines. There is an elaboration of a theme as the song unfolds. You could listen to any line of Roop Tera Mastana and feel that it's connected to the first line in a musical sense. If someone played a musical phrase from the song at random, the odds are that you will guess it is from Roop Tera Mastana, and it might sound trivial. You may also notice that Roop Tera Mastana does not sound at all like Janagana Mana. There is the national anthem. There is a character, a structure and an identity to the song, however vague the concept may sound. If you have grasped the abstract concepts, you have almost understood the concept of a raga or ragam or rag. Because a ragam is an embodiment of a particular musical identity. For example, if you heard the song Vande Mataram, Sujalam Sufalam, you can tell that it has its own identity, which is very different from the way Janagana Mana or Roop Tera Mastana sound. This song is in fact based upon a ragam called Desh. How do we forge such musical identities using a keyboard? The answer lies in just choosing a subset of keys out of the 12 keys available in the octave instead of all the 12, and sticking just to the subset of keys while making music, and using the permissible gamakams or the microtones for that set of notes. If you use all the keys in the keyboard to compose one song, you may not create anything with an identity. You will see that as you understand more about music, that this statement is strictly not true. There are nice sounding musical compositions where almost all keys are used. Let us take an example. Let's choose just all the white keys in an octave, that is, use only 7 out of the 12 keys. And let's play the keys in any order, even stay on one key for whatever length of time we choose to do. Let us allow now ourselves to go to the white keys in the octaves below and above the second standard octave as well. After a few minutes, you might sense in effect a wholeness gestalt or a personality to the sound. If you don't believe me, have your friend play the keyboard with only the white keys. Now close your eyes and ask him or her to occasionally hit any black key. You can easily tell whenever the black keys are hit, because you are now sensitive to the quote structure or character produced by the 7 white keys. Is there a lower limit on how few keys we can choose in our subset and still get by to produce a raga? If we choose a subset of just 3 keys, say the first 3 white keys in an octave, and limit ourselves to those keys, we will see that we don't have much variety to the melodies we can produce. It may sound like drum beating, but it's devoid of any specific melodic personality. In general, note that there's not an absolute law, one chooses 5 or 6 or 7 keys out of the 12 keys available in the octave to make the raga. More about the selection rules later. Once these keys are selected, the corresponding keys in other octaves are also automatically selected and used in the melody making process. In the context of Indian Carnatic music, one has an extra degree of freedom. One can choose one set of keys to go up in frequency, called the Arohanam, and choose an entirely different set of keys to come down the octave, called Avarohanam. As we mentioned, the key sequence to go up is called the Arohanam, and the key sequence which forms the descending order is called the Avarohanam. More about it as well later. Now let's stick to the symmetric choices while going up and down. That is, the Arohana is the same set of notes as the Avarohanam. At the risk of sounding repetitive, let's say that you always decide to be non-conformist and follow none of the so-called rules and conventions. Music is after all a creative art, and a final criterion is whether it sounds pleasing. How do we select this quote subset unquote of keys? Our ancestors have done quite a bit of research on such selection rules and have come up with algorithms for you computer scientists out there. Let's look at the Western music first. The major scale is a very typical selection algorithm. This helps you select 7 keys in an octave. The rules are as follows. First key, choose any key in the octave. Second key, skip the adjacent key to the right, choose the one after that. In effect, you have moved a whole tone from the first key. Remember the concept of whole tones and semitones from the first part? And that whole tone equals shifting 2 semitones. The third key, again skip the adjacent key to the right and choose the second one. Again, you moved a whole tone. Fourth key, select the adjacent key. You have moved a half tone or a semitone. Fifth key, skip the next key, but select the one after that. Once again, you moved a full tone or a whole tone. Sixth key, a whole tone. Seventh key, the half tone or semitone. In short, your frequency selection is select a key and then move by the following intervals: whole tone, whole tone, half tone, whole tone, whole tone, whole tone, and half tone. If you started with the usual key, C key, the first white key, you will see that the C major scale is simply all the white keys. This is a very major scale, really, with a lot of popular compositions. And in the process of introducing this algorithm, we have also defined the term scale, which is simply a sequence of keys. Also, the algorithm wraps around itself. That is, if you started out with the F key, for example, and you and created an F major scale, you will spill over to the next octave. But that is okay, because you can fill up the rest of your scale by starting out with an F key of the previous octave. That is, with this algorithm, you will always select 7 keys in an octave. The question to ask is, will we get unique sequences using these algorithms every time we start off with a new key? Or is there a possibility for our sequence repeating itself for 2 different starting keys? That is the C major scale different from D major scale, and are there 12 unique major scales? I leave this exercise to an enthusiastic reader. So let's first take an example played by Harihar of the major scale.
From combining whole tones with half tones. So the first whole tone, sa re, that distance is called one full tone. Sa, ga, now from re to ga, re ga is a whole tone. Ma, now the ga ma, that distance is a half tone. Pa ma pa is a whole tone. Dha pa da, that frequency distance is a whole tone. Ni dha ni, that distance is a whole tone. Sa ni sa ni sa, if you can feel it to be closer, that is a half tone. Sa ri ga ma pa da ni sa. Okay, this is a major scale, popular through a lot of compositions. Now what we will do is, we will use the same algorithm of tones, a whole tone and half tone, but we will move the scale so that Carnatic music can also be sung on a relative basis at a different starting point.
Sa ri ga ma pa da ni sa.
So we started from D and went all the way to D with the same algorithm: whole tone, whole tone, half tone, whole tone, whole tone, whole tone, and half tone.
Coming back to the main description. Similarly, other algorithms can also be defined. One other choice is called the minor scale, which is in reality a generic name for 3 different algorithms. One of them goes as follows: whole tone, half tone, whole tone, whole tone, half tone, whole tone, and whole tone, with the freedom to choose the first key. Okay, if your mind is racing to figure out what this is, you will look at an example of it in music pretty soon. I'm not giving the selection rules for the other 2 minor algorithms. Again, there are 12 keys and we can select as our first key, and therefore we can generate 12 sequences of per minor algorithm, and there are 3 such minor algorithms, bringing a grand total of 12 times 3 or 36 possible minor scales. But we discover that many of these scales repeat themselves, and in reality the number of unique scales or unique ragas are fewer than the 36 minor plus 12 major scales. Okay, so let's take a look at the minor scale.
This is the illustration of one of the minor scale, just like we did the major scale. This is based on C minor. Now this corresponds to a ragam called Natabhairavi, or the 20th Melakartha ragam in the Carnatic music scale. Sa ri ga ma pa dha ni sa.
We come back to the main discussion. Coming back to the Indian system, even the ancient Tamil literary work Silapadikaram talks of an algorithm called Ilikramam, fascinating as it sounds. The rules of Ilikramam are quite similar to the selection of major and minor scales. It's really fun to work out this algorithm and derive a bunch of scales. If you're interested in this, refer to Professor Ramanathan's book in the reference section. In fact, nothing stops you at this point to go ahead and create your own selection rules and choose 7 keys out of 12 in the octave. Let's turn our attention to Carnatic music. Also, at this point, I will depart from talking about Indian classical music in general and stick only to South Indian music. Wherever relevant, references will be made to the Hindustani music. In Carnatic music, a very famous algorithm exists to select the keys in an octave which form the basis of important scales, which are called the Melakartha scheme. The Melakartha scheme selection algorithm is as follows. You can refer to figure 3 or table 2 in the main text if you like. But I'll illustrate this also in music. Rule 1. Always select the first white key, that is Sa. Always select the Pa key, that is the fifth. This is a convenient midpoint of the octave, sort of. Rule 3. Select one of the Madhyamam keys, Ma 1 or Ma 2. Notice that one of them is a black key and another is a white key in the keyboard. Once selected, this key is your Madhyamam or Ma. Rule 4. Select any two of the four keys in the lower tetrachord or Purvangam from keys 2, 3, 4 and 5. Once selected, the first of these two keys will be your Re and the second will be your Ga. Rule 5. Select any two keys out of the four keys in the upper tetrachord from keys 9 to 12. Once selected, the first of these two keys will be your Dha and the second will be your Ni. This rule is exactly like rule 4. Once all the 7 keys are chosen, you have your complete Sarigama Padani. Let's see how many Melakartas or scales we can build in this way. By rule 4, you can choose 2 keys out of 4 in 6 different ways. By going by the elementary combination theory, similarly going by rule 5, we can choose 2 keys out of 4 in 6 different ways. By rule 6, you can choose 1 key out of 2 in 2 different ways. So we get 6 times 6 times 2 or 72 Melakartha or Melakartha ragams. So this scheme was formed by an old Indian scholar called Venkatamaki, that sets out the 72 base of sampurna or full-fledged ragams in Carnatic music, out of which all other ragams are derived because they are subsets of these. And these 72 ragams are all unique and they have an interesting naming system we shall see later. By definition, the Melakartha ragams are symmetric with respect to going up and down in a scale. Saying the same thing more technically, in Melakartha ragams, the Arohana and Avarohana are simply reversed. The sequence Sarigama Padani is Arohanam and the reversed sequence Sanidapa Magari is Avarohanam. The Melakartha ragams are also called Sampurna ragams or complete ragams. Interestingly, even the Melakartha selection algorithm allows us to choose all 7 white keys, same as the Western C major scale. In Carnatic music, we call the resulting Melakartha ragam as Shankarabharanam. And that was what we looked at earlier when we looked at the major scale. You may have also heard of this ragam or the movie called Shankarabharanam. In Hindustani music, the set of all white keys is called the Bilawal Thaat, one of the major building blocks of the Hindustani musical system. Let's go back to table 2 and see why notation 1 makes sense. For example, you can pick any two keys from the keys 2, 3, 4, 5 and still call the first one of those as Re and the second one as Ga. And if you choose the keys 2 and 5, then you will sing out Re when you strike key 2 and Ga when you strike key 5. And on the other hand, if you choose keys 3 and 4, you will say Re for key 3 and Ga for key 4, and so on. The rule is the first key to be used among these four keys is a Re and the second one is called a Ga, no matter which absolute position the keys are located. Keys 3 and 4 have the dubious honor of being a Re or Ga depending upon the situation, and this particular setup is known as the Shatshruti or the Shodashaswarasthanam schemes. These arguments are valid in the upper tetrachord in the choice of Da and Ni as well. Now perhaps we can understand why three keys were designated as Re, Ga or Da or Ni. There is one of these three keys are usually an alias for another Rishabham in terms of absolute frequencies. A caveat. I'm using the word ragam in a loose sense here. A ragam is not just a scale or a bunch of keys. It is much more than that. Remember, I have told you over and over and over again that microtones are everything in Indian classical music, that is gamakas, and keys in a keyboard are simply digitized approximations. So we shall take an example to illustrate this. The seven white keys are not enough to give the resulting music the flavor of the ragam Shankarabharanam. It is those seven keys plus all the associated microtones which constitute the Shankarabharanam scale. Okay, so let's take a look at how the Shankarabharanam plays out.
So we will now do the Arohana Avrohana of the ragam Shankarabharanam in the C scale or one kattai. Sa ri ga ma pa da ni sa avrohana. Avrohana means descent. Sa ni da pa ma ga ni sa. Now we will do it with gamakas or microtones. Now gamakas can be approximated with flat notes as follows. Sa ri. Now ri ga ri. The way it comes is sa sa ga ri ga ri. Now if you do that continuously, it becomes sa ri. Now that's for Rishabham Gamakam. Ga is flat. Ga ma ga pa ga pa ga ma. Observe the niche nishadam lo ni sa ni sa da. It comes, it stays on sa for a long time and just comes to the lower note for a touch. Descent is similar. Sa ni sa ni sa ni da sa da sa da. Gama 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 ma. ga for longer time and just come down quickly sliding to rishabham. Sa. So what we've done is we've approximated the microtones with the boundaries of it. So when we sing it, it'll be like this. Sa ri ga ma.
So that was the ragam Shankarabharanam. So we saw how the microtones or gamakams added a lot of flavor to the ragam. So even though we added the microtones, what we showed was just the structure of the arohana and arohana with the microtones. When we use the word ragam or ragam alapana, we mean that we refer to the shape that is projected by the artist of the ragam, or the aesthetics of this of the ragam that is projected by the artist. So this is much more abstract than what I showed, but what we showed in the arohana arohana with the microtones forms a basis for that abstraction. Okay, so we move on. In fact, you may hear shades of Shankarabharanam when somebody plays the Western C major or the Hindustani Bilawal, but the shades are different for the C major and the Bilawal and the Shankarabharanam. The C major does not have any gamakam. Bilawal has some gamakam, but the usage of the gamakams and the conventions are fairly different. And one simple oversimplification that can be made for Carnatic music is that you see much more shorter phrases and more rapid change in terms of the pace of the gamakams, and sung as phrases which are set to sahityam or what are called alapana sangatis or swarakalpana sangatis, versus in Hindustan it's much more meandering, and they try to find all the color for a single gamakam before proceeding to other gamakams. Okay, so this is a very high level distinction. It is important to listen to some music to figure out if you can really identify an artist go through these gamakams. A simple rolling of the tongue, subtle jumps and modulation or vibratos are all indications of varieties of gamakas. Also, if you are the type that questions authority, you may equally well question the Melakrita selection rules. Why should we always include pa, and why can't we include both the ma1 and ma2 keys in the same scale? The Hindustani music, there are ragams that which use both the ma keys, and though it is a general no-no in the mainstream of Carnatic music, once you become more advanced, you'll see that in Carnatic music has also adapted some pieces which uses both the ma's, especially ragas like Sindhu Bhairavi. Finally, we should notice a fundamental difference between the Western system of scale building compared to the Melakrita system, or the 72 raga system. In the Western classical music, you started off on a specific key, used the algorithm to generate the next key, which in turn led you to the third key of the scale, and so forth. You sequentially generated the keys one after the other just by shifting a whole tone or half tone. By a curious coincidence, even the Ilikramam algorithm in Silapadikaram is a similar mode shifting or a tone shifting algorithm. By contrast, the Melakrita scheme is a brutally mathematical scheme where you selected 7 keys out of a possible 12 keys subject to certain constraints. Here you figured out the frequency relationship between the keys much later. One important consequence: in the Western scale system, the keys in a scale are not more than a whole tone apart. That is, any major or minor scale, you skip at the maximum just one key. Whereas in the Melakrita scheme, you can choose key 1, key 2, key 3, key 4, 7, key 8, key 11, key 12 by the algorithm. This corresponds to ragam Raghupriya. Notice the big gap between key 3 and key 7, between ga and ma, where we skipped over 3 keys. This amounts to skipping 2 whole tones or 4 semitones. We also skipped 2 keys between pa and da, the keys 8 and 11. Such large intervals can produce unpleasant listening experience, and usually these intervals are called vivadi or vivadi notes. Okay, and they should be used with care, even though Raghupriya like ragam is legitimate ragam. Just to give you one example of a Vivadi ragam, not the Melakarta, but a derived one called Nattai. It is a very beautiful ragam, but it has two notes which are very close to each other and two notes which are farther from each other. Sari ga ma pa da ni sa sa ni pa ma ri sa. So you notice that the Rishabham sa ri, that ri is very far from sa. And the way the gamakam was sa, sa ri, sa ga ri, sa ga ri, ga ri, ga ri. And ri and ga were very close to each other. Ri, ga, ri, ga, ri, ga, ri. Okay, ri, ga, ma was also close. So these kinds of close ri, ga, sa, ri are called vivadi usages. And they should be used carefully. Some of them are aesthetic, some of them can be quite unaesthetic. And it has to be sung with care because it's easy to go wrong because they tend to confuse the intuition. And there are very beautiful songs in such ragas like sarasi ruhasana priye amba swaminatha paripalaya suma ninne bhajana. These are all songs in that ragam. You will see the color of the ragam being projected in those songs. Some more discussion on the Melakartha ragams. A scholar named Venkatamakin invented the Melakartha scheme way back in the 17th century. He was the first to comprehensively classify his raga in a periodic table-like arrangement. A complete list of the 72 Melakartha ragams is given in Table 4, which I will not go through in great detail. When Venkatamakin devised his table, only a few of the 72 ragams were known. Using his schematization, Venkatamakin not only catalogued the existing Melakartha ragams but also filled in the gaps by coming up with the key sequence for the rest of the Melakartha ragams. Thus, the scheme helped discover new Melakartha ragams, which in turn led to even new derivative or child ragams from using those, or what are known as Janya ragams. Composers and performers lapped it up and made songs in the new hitherto unknown ragams. Table 4, the ragam 29 is a friendly ragam Shankarabharanam, though its less well-known official name Dhira Shankarabharanam is used in the table because it corresponds to a fancy scheme for being able to figure out the number of the Melakartha ragam Dhira from the name itself, the first two aksharas of the name, and vice versa. This brings out yet another aspect of the Melakartha scheme. The names of the ragam are not arbitrary. The names contain mnemonics which spell out which keys are used in the ragam. From the name Dhira Shankarabharanam, we can figure out it's actually all white keys by converting it into the number and using the number to figure out what the raga swarasthanas are. Venkatamakin was lucky that most of the 72 ragams were not known, so that he could assign names to them or add a prefix to the existing ones. Imagine if all the ragas were to exist first and then you try to group them, you might not have such a mnemonic scheme possible. In fact, in Hindustani music, such schemes were not invented, and we now have hundreds of ragams which were tough to classify using such simple mnemonics. Of course, the absence of such a comprehensive scheme is by no means a negative or a deficiency in the system. In music, like most things in life, we don't and should not want to make value judgments. Let me now explain to you the mnemonic of the Kattapayadi scheme, thanks to R. Pichumani for notes in this section. So, the Kattapayadi scheme essentially assigns numbers to syllables. For example, Ka is assigned the number 0, and Ka is assigned the number 1, Ga is assigned the number 2, and Gha is 3. And so on, and this sort of repeats as the basic aksharas or syllables of the Hindi or Sanskrit language come around. So, for example, the dhira, the way it comes is the word ra, dhira, okay, corresponds to ya ra la va, so that ya ra is number 2, and dha is number 9, tha tha dha. dha dha na. Okay, so number 9 is ta ta da dha. So dhi ra is refers to the 9 and number 2s. So if you replace, if you turn around or reverse that scheme, it's called, it'll become 29. So dha stands for 9, ra stands for 2, that is 92. If you reverse 92, you get 29. Okay, so this is the funny way in which you get the scheme. So assign the numbers, so the scheme is as follows. Assign the numbers to the first two syllables of the Melakartha Ragam. For example, Harikambodhi, the syllable Ha is 8 and Ra is 2, thus Hari is 82. The Melakartha number of this Ragam is obtained by simply interchanging the digits. 82 becomes 28. And in fact, Harikambodhi is the 28th Melakartha Ragam. And we saw the same example for Dhira Shankarabharanam. You can see that Shankarabharanam probably existed before the scheme was invented, and thus the author had to alias it to conform to his lookup table scheme. There are such other aliased ragams. The popular ragam Thodi is aliased or expanded to become Hanuman Thodi, and Kalyani is become Mecha Kalyani, so that you can apply the Kattapayadi scheme, naming scheme. Another example is the ragam Maya Malavagola. It used to be called Malavagola, it has been renamed to Maya. Ma is 5, Ya is 1, yielding 51, which inverted gives 15, and so on. What are the advantages of such mathematical and more almost hackers type of scheme? 1. The Melakartha scheme does not tell you if a given ragam is a Melakartha or not. If you know it is a Melakartha ragam, you can find out what its number is. For example, you can see what number is the ragam Pantuvarali, which is called Kamavardhini, or you can see what is the number for ragam Purvi Kalyani. It should be 21 if you look at Pa and Ra and so on, but it's not even a Melakartha ragam, so you cannot use the above lookup algorithm. So you have to first know whether the ragam is a Melakartha ragam. Incidentally, if you look up the table 4, which lists all the Melakartha ragams, you will see that the very two famous ragams, Shankarabharanam called Dhira Shankarabharanam and Kalyani called Mechar Kalyani, have identical notes except for Ma. Shankarabharanam has the Shuddha Madhyamam, Ma, whereas Kalyani has Prati Madhyamam, Ma, Sari, Sari, Gama, Sari, Gama. That is the difference. Thus, the table is divided into two groups of 36 ragams each, and the only difference between the ragam on the left and the ragam on the right is the Ma key used. The first 36 from Kanakangi to Chalanatai are called the Shuddha Madhyama ragams, and the other 36 are called the Prati Madhyama ragams or Ma 2 ragams. Melakarthas which differ from each by 36, such as Harikambodhi and Vachaspati, Kiravani and Simhendra Madhyamam, etc., have the same Arohanam and Avarohanam except for the Madhyamam. But however, the shape or the form is very, very different. How do we figure out if the Arohanam and Avarohanam are the keys to use from the name of the Melakartha ragam? If somebody tells you Kiravani, you can quickly locate the keys on a keyboard corresponding to the ragam. Can you? You just have to look up table 4 to see how cyclical the whole thing is. All Melakartha ragams in the same group of 6, that is 1 to 6, 7 to 12, 35 to 30, 25 to 30, have the same sarigama. All ragams which differ from each other by 6 have the same padanisa. Karahara Priya, Harikambodhi, Himavati, Nasika Bhushni have the same padanisa, because they all leave a remainder of 4 when divided by 6. So, just to summarize, all Melakartha ragams from 1 to 36 use Ma 1, those from 37 to 72 use Prati Madhyamam or Ma 2. The Riga assignment is as follows. Ri 1 Ga 1 Melakartha is for Melakarthas 1 to 6 and 37 to 42, and Ri 1 Ga 2 Melakarthas from 7 through 12, 43 to 48, and so on and so forth. And Dhani assignment is as follows. Take the Melakartha ragam and divide it by 6 and look at the remainder. If Ni 1, Dha 1, Ni 1, if the remainder is 1, Dha 1, Ni 2, if the remainder is 2, and so on. So if your head is spinning, you can just look up the table and figure it out. Okay. So these are all for people who want to keep it all in your mind and figure out all the raga and so on. So all you have to do is take a Melakartha ragam from its name, determine its number using the Kattapayadi scheme. From the number, figure out the Arohana Avarohana. Simple enough. Okay, this again just gives the basic scale, but not the mood or the form of the ragam in greater detail than that. Let's move on. Again, among the 72 such major ragams, not all of them are equally popular. Some of them are quite obscure, especially the ones whose keys are not spread apart well through the octave. However, many musicians have composed in all 72 Melakartha ragas, Koteshwara Iyer for one. Musicians like M.S. Subbalakshmi and S. Balachandar have recorded all 72 Melakartha ragas, so you can buy a CD of theirs. The Shuddha Madhyamam is just the official name for Ma-1 group of 36 ragams are by and large more popular than the Pratimadhyamam. Pratimadhyamam is same as Ma-2 group. Ma-2 is supposed to be more negative and sad. The more unpopular ragams are the ones like Kanakangi, which use closely spaced keys. The raga Mayamalagula, on the other hand, has well spaced out keys. Sa, Re 1 space, Ga 2, Ma 1 space, Pa, Dha 1 space, Ni 2, Sa. Sa, Re, Ga, Ma, Pa, Dha, Ni, Sa. Sa, Ni, Dha, Pa, Ma, Ga, Re, Sa. If this sounds familiar, this is just the Saraliswaram or the ragam all beginners are taught, essentially because such a dispersed set of notes is more easy for a beginner to learn. From these complete ragams, you can derive child ragams omitting a key here and there in the Arohanam or Avarohanam. Some Melakartas are parents of a large number of popular child or Janya or derived ragams. Melakartas like Natabhairavi, Karaharapriya, Harikambodhi, Shankaravarnam, for example. We will see this in the next section. You may wonder how just one key makes such a huge difference. I told you that the ragams Kalyani and Shankaravarnam have identical Arohana and Avarohana except for the key used to produce the Ma syllables. You have to listen to your keyboard. Play Kalyani and Shankaravarnam on the keyboard even though you don't produce the microtones and even though you're playing an equally tempered instruments. You can tell the two apart. Sari. Sa ri sa ri ga ma pa da ni sa ni da ba ma ga ri sa ri ga ma pa da ni sa ni da ba ma ga ri sa. Now, if you look at a song, these are very, very different.
Shivakameshwarim Chintayeham Shivakameshwarim.
So the Ma is either used directly or alluded to in the whole ragam. So there is no doubt that this is Kalyani. Whereas if you do Shankaravarnam,
Swara raga sudhara sayuta bhakti swara raga.
So the structure of the raga is such that even though you directly don't do the madhyam early on, sarigaga, what is there in that?
Sarigama
is very out of place, so it alludes to a smaller madhyamam coming later. Therefore it shows the ragam Shankaravarnam apart from Kalyani just by the way the notes have been chosen, and that is the art in creating compositions, so that the bhava or the form of the ragam comes out very clearly even though the distinguishing notes may not be played directly. Okay, so the madhyamam key makes a big difference both directly and indirectly in the way the usages have come. So one has to simply listen to music to train one's ears and it will become obvious. And people in concerts, you can see them getting excited because they have figured out the ragams before others have while the artist is doing it. Since Melakartas have the maximum allowed 7 notes in a ragam, they have an enormous scope for melody making, compared to a derived ragam which may have less than 7 notes. This is just a general rule, but there are several derived Janani ragams which are considered to be of larger scope than the original Melakartha ragam itself. Like for example, Naatayam is sung much more often than Chalanaatayam, which is the original Melakrit Ragam. Thus, these ragams are very popular in concerts, and especially some of the main big Melakrit Ragams, such as Kalyani, Shankarabhadnam, Thodi, Karaharapriya, are chosen for the heavy part of the concert, and where they try to exhibit their mastery. So, what is a ragam? Now that you have studied the Melakrita scheme inside, let's go to generate the secondary or janya or derived ragams, the rest of the ragams that is, based upon some simple guidelines. These are only guidelines and not hard and fast rules. Again, aesthetics drives what is truly hard and fast. 1. A ragam should have at least 5 keys in an octave and at most 7 keys in the arohanam as well as the avarohanam. 2. The arohanam or ascending order of notes, or avarohanam, or descending order for that matter, is obtained by simply taking a Melakrita scheme and omitting none or one or two notes. Remember that the Melakrita scheme has 7 notes, so we can end up with 7 or 6 or 5 notes in the derived scale. For example, let us again take the ragam Shankarabharanam. If we omit the notes ma and ni, we can only use the 5 white keys sa ri ga pa da sa. Then we get a famous ragam called Mohanam. Okay, so let's take a look at this ragam Mohanam and see how it goes.
This is the arohana avarohana of the ragam Mohanam, first done flat and with illustration on piano by Harihar. So here we have taken the ragam Shankarabharanam and have omitted the madhyamam ma and the nishadam ni. Sa ri ga, no ma, pa, da, no nishadam, sa. Now this is a 5-note scale and it is called an outover raga, and it has the same symmetry on the reverse direction. Sa dha pa ga ri sa. Now what we'll do is we'll now illustrate how we add gamakas or microtones to it and how we can approximate it with the piano. Sa ri sa sa ga ri ga ri. You observe that this is the same gamaka as used in Shankarabharanam because it has the same pivot note sa ga and oscillates between the ga ri area. Ga ri ga ri. And notice that the gamaka has more weight at the gandharam. Ga ri ga ri. Stays longer at ga. So it's like a notch, oscillation with notches coming down. Pa da pa sa da sa da. So you see that these are discrete ways of approximating the end points of it. Sa sa ri ri ga pa da.
That was the ragam Mohanam. and the Hindustani equivalent of this ragam is called Bhup or Bhupali. Usually the next octave, Sa, is also included for the completion, hence the Arohanam will be correctly called Sarigapada Sa. Similarly, Avrohanam is called Sada Pagari Sa. You will notice that almost all ragams start with the key Sa. From now on, we will omit saying Re1 or Re2 if there is no ambiguity for which key we are using, especially if we say which ragam it was derived from. If we use the pattern Sa Re Ga Pa Ni Sa, Sa Ni Pa Ga Ri Sa, we will get the ragam Hamsadhwani. So let's look at an illustration of the ragam Hamsadhwani.
We now look at the ragam Hamsadhwani, which is another derivative of Shankarabarnam, but instead of the Dhaivatam as in Mohanam, it uses the Nishadam as its choice, and it's also an Audava raga, symmetric, five notes in each direction. Sa.
Microtones than the end points. So what we saw was the ragam Hamsadhvani. Just to remind you, there are very famous songs in this ragam, such as Vathapi Ganapatim.
Vathapi Ganapatim bhaje hum, Vathapi Ganapatim bhaje hum, Vathapi Ganapatim bhaje hum.
So songs like this are the classes for which are available on the Music Archive website, which you can find by going to Google and typing Carnatic Music Archive or Carnatic Music Class. Anyway, we move on. If we used Sari Ma Pa Da Sa, we get the Ragam Shuddha Saveri. I don't have a piano illustration for this, so let me just sing it.
Sari Ma Pa Da Sa Sa Dha Pa Ma Ri Sa.
The Gamakam version is
Sa Ri Ma Pa Da Sa Sa Dha Pa Ma Ri Sa.
There are very nice songs in this.
Kalaharana Mela Ra Hare.
So there you saw usage of the anuswaram
re re ga re ga re ga re sa 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 da da va pa ma re sa.
There you put the sahityam
kala haran mela ra hare sita ramana kala dari nitelu sukhoti Tripura Sundarini.
Dharini, Tripura Sundarini. Okay, these are all Sahityam aesthetics. But that was the ragam Shuddha Saveri, which is a beautiful ragam, just as the others. It's equivalent to the ragam Durga in Hindustani. So these are Janya ragams, which are derived. So just because they are derived and have the similar gamaka structure doesn't mean they have a form which is very unique to themselves. So the Mohanam form is very different from the form of Shankarabharanam. So you don't get a sub form out of Shankarabharanam because it has a completely different form, even though technically the one ragam is derived from the other. So that's very important to understand the concept of a raga or a raga alapana. If you have a keyboard, try to play these keys, since you can get a feel for the identities of these ragams. For example, in Mohanam, jump from ga to pa, for that matter da to aparsa, is quite characteristics. Besides Carnatic and Hindustani music, a lot of oriental tunes are based on the ragam Mohanam, and you see this used quite often in the Indian light music as well. Third, the five note scale such as Mohanam is called a pentatonic ragam. The Indian equivalent name is called Audava Ragam, which was mentioned in the commentary on the practical commentary. Similarly, the six note ragam is called the Shadva Raga, or sextatonic scale in Western terminology, and the seven note ragam is called septatonic or sampurna or full raga. While the ragam Mohanam is pentatonic, with an implicit assumption that arohanam avarohanam are reverses of each other, other asymmetric possibilities are allowed. A ragam can have five notes on the way in arohanam and seven in the way down. For example, you can have a ragam which is exactly Mohanam in terms of arohanam, Sariga Padasa, but it's Kalyani in the way down. And it turns out that this Audava Sampurna ragam is called Mohana Kalyani. Similarly, you can have other varieties such as Audava Audava, Audava Sampurna, Sampurna Shadava, Shadva Raga, etc. Melakarta ragams are of course Sampurna Sampurna, that is full, both full and sequenced both in the Arohana and Avarohana. As we mentioned, the Arohana Avarohanam need not be the reverse of the Arohana. For example, you can have a ragam that goes Sa Re 1, Ma 1, Dha 1, Ni 2, Sa, and Sa Ni 2, Ni 1, Dha 2, Pa Ma 2, Ga 2, Sa Avarohanam. Okay, these are all just a random choice. A lot of ragams are however symmetric, and usually they offer a lot of scope. But the songs which are asymmetric also offer a lot of scope. And there are also other special types of ragams called Bhashang ragams, which we shall look at in a moment. Once you have chosen the keys, you are restricted only to play the keys. So the key point in a ragam is that the scale bounds what the ragam technically should be, and it also implies a certain form, and that is the form which people try to bring out in when they try to when they're doing a concert. So the restriction to play these keys is not, you should not think of it as a restriction to elaboration of the form. There is an infinite variety in the form itself, especially some ragams are said to have a lot of scope, like Mohanam, Hamsadhvani, etc. And people can do a lot, ragalapna, which can go forever with that. Some other ragams, instead of going up or going down, simply can go around, go up or down in a zigzag manner, such as sa, re, one, ma, one, ga, two, pa, ni, two, dha, one, sa, etc. You cannot simply go up in scale just by merely pressing the keys. One should spiral to the top of the scale. There are not too many such ragams, but there are and such meandering structures is called vakram, which literally means crooked. There is an additional constraint imposed on the ragams besides the key selection. There are a lot of beautiful vakra ragams, and Tyagaraja is said to have composed several vakra ragams. To give you an example of a vakra ragam, there's a ragam called Begada. It makes sense to sing Begada only with gamakams. It is actually quite weird if you sing it with without gamakams. You see, it's shaking, it is going crooked both in the arohanam. Sagariga mapa dapa dapasa. Okay. Sani sani dapama garisa. Has an interesting usage of gamakam there. 5. In some other instances, it may not be easy to uniquely define the arohanam or avarohanam of ragam. Many arohanams and avarohanams, that is, definitions, can exist for one ragam itself. One such example of a ragam is Ananda Bhairavi. There are another example is Sindhu Bhairavi. And of course, those arohanams and avarohanams will be close to each other. There will be some changes in the arohanam or avarohanam, and these notes which are not normally used are sometimes called bhashanga notes or anyaswaras, and the whole ragam is called a bhashanga ragam. Okay, so let me give you an example of Ananda Bhairavi now.
This is the ragam Ananda Bhairavi. Now, this is much more difficult to illustrate on the piano because there are more microtones and harder gamakams, but we will try to do it anyway. It has the following arohana arohana. It's also called a vakra ragam, and it's also called a bhashanga ragam. Vakra means it is crooked in its arohana especially, and it is bhashanga because it has an odd note which is not there in the parent raga. We'll look at both these aspects. Now this ragam, if it's sung flat, will sound totally weird. Sa ri sa ga ri ga ma pa da pa sa sa ni da pa ma ga ri sa. Now to look at the gamakas in a little more detail and approximate it. Sa ga ri, it comes as sa sa ma ga ma ri sa ma ga ma ri sa ma ga ma ri. That is sung as ga. Sa ga ri ma ri ga ma ri ma ga ma ri ma ri ma ri ma ma ri ma ri. Now hard because you have to touch all the microtones in between.
Pa pa da pa 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 da pa.
So it can't be approximated easily.
Sa sa ni sa sa ni da ni sa da ni da ni da ni da ni sa da ni da ni da ni da ni da ni sa da ni sa ni sa sa ni da ni.
Okay, it starts at sa sa ni sa ni
da pa da pa ma ma pa ma pa. Gari magamari magamari sa griga garigari sa griga garigari sa ariza za.
Even though the sa normally doesn't have gamakam, it comes as. Now you look at the whole guarantee of the ragam.
Sa ri sa ga ri ga ma fa da ba sa.
Now the ragam also contains odd notes other than these canonical notes.
Da, da, da.
That is the small devatam.
Bada ba ma ga ri ga ma bada ba sa ni da ba ma ga ri ta da ra na na da.
That's an odd note. And now it also has the antaragandharam.
Ga ga ga
higher ga.
Ga.
Now this comes as
da da ri ma ma ga ga ma ga ma.
And it also has the higher ni.
Ni sa ni sa ta ri na 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 ri na na ri na ri na ri na na ri sa ni sa ni.
It's a small nishadam.
Ni sa ga ma pa da.
These are all the varieties of the odd notes that come in the ragam and the bhairavi. So this explains some of the complexities of the raga concept in Carnatic music.
So that was Anand Bhairavi. As you saw, it had a lot of varieties besides the basic Arona Harona, which itself was crooked and it has different microtonal possibilities. But these ragams are very beautiful. They have many beautiful songs. Just to give an illustration. So that's an example of a song in Anand Bhairavi. Another song. So Semmangudi Srinivasa Iyer, for example, is a great exponent of this ragam Anand Bhairavi. And finally, there is a confusing possibility. There can be two ragams which have identical arohana arohanas, but different microtonal associations or gamakas, that is permissible gamakas. The only way to tell these two ragams apart is to sensitize your ears to the differences in the gamakas. Okay. You can go ahead and create your own ragam by selecting your own 5 keys or 6 or 7 and following the above rules and name it after yourself, but make sure it doesn't already exist. Balamurli Krishna, one of the great exponents of music from Andhra Pradesh, he was very adept at designing new ragams, and even several of the modern composers, Lalgudi Jayaraman, Balamurli Krishna, have made compositions in several of the ragams which did not have many compositions, including specialized compositions such as thilanas and even dance ballet pieces. However, if you created your own pentatonic ragam, you probably did not choose the first 5 keys of the octave. You might have distributed the 5 keys such that they were spread out in the octave instead of being bunched together so that your ragam sounded better. In fact, such subjective aesthetic criteria have resulted in only a few ragams being popular. So aesthetics is quite a dominant force in music, as it should be. Mathematically, there are many ragams possible. Choosing 5, 6 or 7 keys or possible 12 keys gives to a large number of combinations, and also you add the Vakra and Bhashanga possibilities, they are quite huge. But fortunately, many of these possibilities have been deemed boring to the ear by musicians throughout history, and only about 6,000 or so ragams have been catalogued. Of these, only 200 or 300 are used commonly. But from time to time, some talented, especially senior artists, bring out new ragams. And for example, Ravi Kiran is said to have composed several tens or hundreds of songs in quite obscure ragams. A ragam's popularity can go up or down depending upon people's taste, the existing political climate of Carnatic Music Caucus, and depending upon the artist who chooses to bring out its aesthetics and discovers and brings out aesthetics, so that lesser artists can actually pick up and follow it and develop on that basis. So the area of raga alapana, etc., or manodharma music as it's called, is continuously evolving, where we build upon the discoveries of prior artists. So music is indeed a discovery process. It is always possible to break down any song, even the non-Carnatic songs, especially the melodies, into its constituent swaras and define corresponding ragas. In fact, this is how a violinist typically accompanies an artist who is singing an unfamiliar ragam or an unfamiliar song. You have to figure it out on the spot, and both the ragam and its gamakas and its aesthetics, and be able to play it. Even Baba Black Sheep can be broken into a ragam. Musicians are more clever than we are, and have done things such as created ragams out of truly Dravidian folk melodies such as Aadu Pambe or Kavadi Chindu songs like Nandavanthil, Nandavanathil or Andi, and created ragams such as Ananda Bhairavi and Kurunji sometimes. Sometimes the ragam corresponds to songs like Baba Black Sheep may not have an enormous scope to create a lot of characteristic phrases and aesthetics, thus limiting the aesthetic possibilities or the creation of more songs in this ragam. So a general rule of thumb is, if a ragam has many compositions, it usually means that these compositions are at least somewhat different from each other, which explores different aesthetic scopes of the of this ragam. And ragams like Thodi, Karahar Priya, Kalyani, Kambodhi, Shankarabarnam have lots of compositions, Bhairavi, and so this suggests that there is a lot of scope in this ragam, and a good way to understand the scope is just to pick up these songs themselves. In general, if two songs sound strikingly similar, the odds are that they are based on similar set of notes and thus in the same ragams. The basic ragam is typically identified by pattern recognition. If you're not willing to do detailed decomposition into the constituent keys of the scale, in fact this is what is known as bhava based recognition of raga, which many folks in concerts are quite adept at, especially if they have listened a lot. And this is often known as kelvi jnanam, or kelvi means just by hearing you can figure out the ragams, even though you might not know the underlying details and the theoretical structures. The basis of ragams is 1. The use of restrictive number of keys in an octave. 2. To go on up and down an octave in a prescribed manner. And yes, 3. Throw in appropriate microtones. But more than all this, even these basic things imply certain melodious personalities which needs to be discovered, and that is what is called the raga swarupa of the ragam. The term as usual, the term microtones or gamakas presents a major difficulty in understanding the totality of the concept of a ragam. So it is much more than just the notes itself, or much more than just the gamakas for the notes itself, because the combinations or phrases of such notes give certain personality to the ragam, and especially when sung in certain contexts, etc. How exactly can one specify which microtones are involved? What is the best way to notate the millions of intermediate frequencies? Instead of getting very analytical about microtones, Carnatic music just gets away by omitting a precise definition of a ragam. In some sense, arohanam arohanam, this descending-descending sequence, is only an operational definition or a skeleton, a bare-bone skeleton at best, and forms a basis where an artist can take off. Since the associated microtones or gamakams cannot be defined numerically, it has become fashionable to say that ragam is a mood, a feeling or emotion, even if you can relate to such unmusical terms. Another way to define a ragam is by analogy, or how it should sound like, and compare it with a historical standard or primitives. It is always much easier to sing the gamakas associated with ragams, produce the basic patterns, rather than let Fourier analyze it. A ragam is alternatively defined in terms of its characteristic musical phrases. These characteristic phrases are called pakads in Hindustani music, or sangatis in Carnatic music, literally meaning catchphrases. These all lend to a certain amount of mystery to the concept of ragams, even though musicologists have strived to lay down the characteristics of a ragam in something known as raga lakshanas, or raga characteristics. Like blind men trying to figure out an elephant, we are supposed to know only a part of the personality of the ragam swarupa, never its wholeness. We can only know so many characteristic phrases of a ragam, not a complete set of them, even if there exists such a complete set. One song may have 20 of them, another song the same ragam might just use 10 of them, but 10 newer ones. Musicians are always trying to create newer characteristic phrases to bring out newer and newer aspects of the ragam. One might have thought that they would have composed every possible phrase in the ragam Shankarabharanam, but people are still making new melodies in the old ragams. They will perhaps never run out of tunes in this ragam. An easiest way to identify a ragam then is by analogy, and trying to figure out if there is a recurring characteristic phrase. That is, trying to put a structure, a mental pattern structure, to the abstract. And this, in fact, is one of the important educational values of learning the art form of music. Figuring out a ragam has always been a natural thing for a Carnatic music enthusiast, especially if the ragam happens to be an obscure one. It's almost like solving a crime. Some of the ragams can be so distinctive that you can recognize them only when one, two or three notes are played, thanks to the characteristic microtones. For example, ga, that is Ananda Bhairavi. Gari gama pada upama gari ga. Okay. Sometimes life is not quite simple. Our definitions of the term ragam may be violated. Some talented musicians might introduce occasionally into a well-defined ragam for nice musical effect new notes. Such a process is called mishrafying. You can have a ragam Shivaranjani played pure, this is a pentatonic ragam, or you can have a Mishra Shivaranjani where you occasionally introduce a sixth or seventh note not prescribed in the definition of the ragam. Note that this requires quite a degree of aesthetic expertise. If you or I play Shivaranjani and try to Mishrafy it, it may go so far from the original ragam that we might sound horrible, resulting in Besur or Apaswaram. Equally incredible, we can have other violations as well. Ragams like Sindhu Bhairavi and Kapi are played with so many more notes than traditional maximum of 7. On the low side, people have laid claims to ragams with just 4 notes. Let your ears be the judge. Play some classical sounding music and see if any particular ragam thrills you. Anything that turns you off completely? Play instrumental or light classical music at first before embarking on a heavy duty vocal piece. Because sometimes the vocalists use certain characteristics as you might be quite turned off by the word tadara and things like that, which apparently sound meaningless, but essentially the musician is thinking about the abstract and instead of playing the boring he's doing tadara. So it might be a little while before you can get used to that, but in vocal music you can look at sahityam, or you can hear the sahityam, and if you're able to understand the meanings of the sahityam and associated with the music, that gives a separate kind of enjoyment as well. Is there a piece that moves you, puts you in a sublime mood, helps you drive a car, goes well in the background when you cook? The reasons for asking this question is to figure a little bit more about psychoacoustics. While I do not believe that a particular ragam could be inherently an angry ragam or a midnight ragam or bring the rains or tame an elephant, ragams could very well produce individual psychoacoustic effects. This is the end of part 2.